Hi, welcome to the Greater Greener Georgia podcast. My name is Mia Delamar, and today we have on our couch Mr. Peter Hubbard, who is running for Georgia Public Service Commission. Introduce yourself, tell us where you're from.
It's great to be here, Mia. So I'm Peter Hubbard, and I'm running for the Public Service Commission in District 3, but it's an important message that anyone anywhere can vote for both of these Public Service Commission seats. So I was raised just outside of Georgia in Chattanooga, went to the University of Memphis. That's where I studied astronomy and physics. And then I went to Johns Hopkins University out of Baltimore, and that's where I studied economics. And so what I did with that is for the last 15 years, I've been in the energy industry, consulting, putting together power plans for electric utilities, helping them just tackle different markets. And so that was 12 years of my career. The last 3 years, I've been in solar and battery storage development, trying to bring these clean energy resources to the market. And I think the most important thing is that in the last 6 years, I formed a nonprofit called the Georgia Center for Energy Solutions so that I could go down in front of the Public Service Commission and make the case for clean energy resources and lower cost bills. And so that's what I've been doing really as a volunteer for the last 6 years just really trying to be an advocate for lower power bills in Georgia.
Yeah, so truly a servant leader and making that nonprofit. That's incredible. So we already have a couple of touch points there. You went to school, you grew up in Chattanooga, and then you went to school in Memphis. Mm-hmm. I went to Belmont. Nice. So that's my Tennessee tie. Nice. And then you went to school in Baltimore, and I go to Preakness every year, like my family goes. So I think that's super cool. So what are a few of your guilty pleasures? What do you do for fun? Yeah.
Well, I have a four-year-old and a three-year-old, almost 4-year-old now. Nine-year-old and a 4-year-old is what I have. And so my 9-year-old son and my almost 4-year-old daughter, what I'd love to do is just spend time with them and go on adventures with them. And so, here in Georgia, we've been camping on Cumberland Island. We've been hiking in Cloudland Canyon. That's what I like to do is spend time with my family. I'm also a whitewater kayaker. I like to cook. And I'm an energy nerd, so I dig into all things energy as well.
Yes, I love kayaking. I don't know if I've done like white water is a little more dangerous, like that's like rushing water. Yes, mm-hmm. So I do this calm, serene, nice little ocean flow kayaking. So I'm very much a scenic route kayaker.
Much safer.
But I want to try like some white water activity. But I just saw a video on TikTok of like a guy that got stuck in a thing and he was trying to get out, and so. Maybe not for me right now.
It's fun, but it has a couple of risks.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, let's get right into it. Why are bills so high right now?
Well, let's be clear about why bills are high. It's because we've got 5 Republican public service commissioners who have voted 6 times in the last 2 years for rate hikes. And that's amounted to an increase of about $600 a year for each family that pays a bill. It's a 37% increase in a very short period of time. And so it really is because we have commissioners whose mandate is to provide for affordable power bills, but they just haven't been doing a dereliction of duty. They failed in their duty to protect consumers. And they've really been advocates for corporate interests and not for the consumer, for residential customers like you and me. And so that's the plain fact of the matter. That's why your power bills are high. And also because we've made poor decisions and continue to make poor decisions with respect to building out fossil fuel power plants that we don't need. And so there's a range of reasons, but at the core of it, it's we've got 5 Republican commissioners who are voting to raise your power bill.
Okay, so realistically, can anything truly be done to lower the bills?
Yeah, there's always something that can be done when you have high power prices and high prices altogether. There's always something that can be done. And so, what we can do is not accept the status quo of Republicans rubber stamping every power plan that Georgia Power Company puts in front of them. But realistically, what we can do is stop the bleeding, stop increasing our power bills, but also push back on on the power plan that we have right now. So I'll just give you an example. Georgia Power Company earns a very healthy, almost 12% return on everything that they build. The rest of the electric utility industry earns about 9.5%. That difference each year is around $300 million, and that could right there save $150 for each family each year. Now, that's not as much as the $600 I just told you, yeah. So we still have a ways to go. But that's only $300 million out of Georgia Power Company's $2.5 billion profit last mm-hmm. year. So there's more that we can do. We also have to be prudent about which power plants we build, what we retire. But there is a way to provide rate relief, as well as we also have a tariff structure. We can carve out for certain classes of customers a differential rate that can help them as well. We had seniors that were dependent on federal assistance that is no longer there, the LIHEAP grants. Mm-hmm. And so we have to find a way to provide, kind of backstop that and provide that relief. And we can do that as commissioners. I'll have to bring along a couple of other commissioners. And you know, hopefully after this year, we'll have two Democratic commissioners. And I feel confident I can convince one or two others.
Absolutely. So assuming everything goes perfectly, what is a realistic timeline for people to expect relief on their bills?
Yeah, we've got to get that majority on the commission. So we have the chance to flip two seats to the Democratic side and then a third seat next year. And so the realistic time frame is when we have the majority in 2027. But there's a lot that we can do even before then with the bully pulpit of having one or two seats on that commission. Mm-hmm. And I also, like I said, I really do feel that I can convince some of the other commissioners to come around, and they're hearing the same thing from their constituents. They're fed up with high power bills. I can provide actual pathways to lower power bills for people and bring them around. So, yeah, I think the realistic time frame is 2027, but I'll be doing everything I can to bend that curve towards a more just and reasonable power bill as soon as I'm in office from day one.
Awesome. And it's great that you're being transparent about timelines and what's realistic, because usually, normally in politics, sometimes we can overshoot and say immediately when nothing really happens.
I'd rather underpromise and overdeliver.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we've been getting a lot of questions online. Why should someone believe you that you aren't just going to get bought by Georgia Power like the current commissioners? And do you think you can get any of the other commissioners on board with your vision, you know, when you start? So why should we believe you? Why do we think that you'd be the guy not to fall into the pockets of Georgia Power like all the other commissioners? Why should the public trust you?
It's a really great question, and I understand why people ask that question, because that's been the status quo. The five Republican commissioners right now accept an incredible amount of money from the companies that they regulate, from the lawyers that represent the companies that they regulate, and from the retired executives and other affiliates of the companies they regulate. So the status quo right now is corruption and unethical practice and unaccountability. So I understand where they're coming from, but what I would say is just look at my track record. For the last 6 years, I've been going down before the Public Service Commission to fight for lower power bills, and I don't think that Georgia Power Company is very excited about the prospect of me joining the commission and actually being a voice for the people rather than for the corporation. So right. I would really just point to my record. The fact that I've been a volunteer for 6 years, no one's paid me to do this. It's because I believe in this, and I know that we have a better future that we can leave, not only for us, but for our children as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So when did you first learn about the PSC, and what was your introduction to the Public Service Commission?
So I moved to Georgia a decade ago, and my job was putting together power plans for utilities and assessing you know, how they interact in the market. And when I moved here to Georgia, I started looking at the power plan that we had here that comes from Georgia Power Company, and I realized we could do a better job. So in 2019, that's when I started the nonprofit, went down before the commission and made comments about how we could increase the amount of solar, don't need to keep burning coal. And it fell on deaf ears. And then in the 2022 Integrated Resource Plan, 3 years later, That is when I sharpened my criticism, because there was a lot of really self-dealing. So Georgia Power Company contracted for almost 2,400 megawatts of capacity. And 85% of that was from, 100% was from gas plants, right. But 85% was from an affiliate of Georgia Power Company, both owned by Southern Company. So it was one hand paying the other, and that didn't sit well with me. Mm. Then in the 2023 Integrated Resource Plan update, that's when we started to see this explosive data center growth, and there was a secretive fossil fuel plant. Mm-hmm. The Yates combustion turbines that was snuck into that integrated resource plan. And then in this 2025 integrated resource plan, we see even more fossil build out to accommodate data center growth. And we don't need to do that. There's cleaner resources out there. So really my involvement came from seeing that there's a better pathway and knowing that we can fight for lower power bills for consumers in Georgia, but it falling on deaf ears. And so that's how I got involved and why I'm here today.
Absolutely. And for the people at home who haven't heard of the IRP or the Integrated Resource Plan, that is?
The Integrated Resource Plan is that every 3 years, mm-hmm. there's a power plan that Georgia Power Company puts forward about what to build and what to retire over the next 20 years. And that's used as the basis for setting rates in a rate mm-hmm. case that was frozen for 3 years. So yeah. They locked in those high prices. And that Integrated Resource Plan is put in front of the commission to approve or disapprove. And every time it's rubber stamped.
And so how has your understanding of the PSC changed over time, of how it works, changed over time? And was there an interaction or a moment that made you go, oh, it's like that?
Well, my interaction with the PSC has really just been one of discovering more and more things that make me shake my head and wonder, why are we doing things this way?
Yeah.
And discovering ways that, like water flows into cracks. A monopoly utility will find every way they possibly can to extract wealth and move it from one customer class to another. And that's what they're doing now, or at least moving it from all customer classes into their pockets. And so just discovering more and more of these failures of the Public Service Commission to lead and to be accountable, discovering different ways that we're not fighting for families that are suffering under higher power bills. All of those things, that's what's changed, is my perception of the commission as being there for the public service. It's right there in the name. They're there for the corporate service, and that has to change.
Yeah. So out of that, with having the need for change, when was it that you decided to run?
Well, as you may or may not know, elections have been canceled for a number of years. The incumbent, my opponent, Fitz Johnson, has not been elected for 4 or 5 years now. Mm-hmm. So this is the first chance that voters have for accountability at the Public Service Commission in a very long time. I would have run earlier if I'd had the opportunity, but this was the first chance in 4 or 5 years to even run for office, yeah. the Public Service Commission. So now is the right time.
Absolutely. So do you have a message for communities in South Georgia that may not know you or your record?
Sure. Yeah, South Georgia is a place that deserves every bit as much attention as Atlanta or Savannah or the other areas of Georgia. And South Georgia in particular, they're not immune to high power bills. They're seeing power bills that are starting to look like car payments or even mortgage payments, you know, $600, $800. And it doesn't have to be that way. And even when they try and do the right thing, for example, put solar on their roof, they're only getting 30% of what it costs to buy that energy when they sell it back to the grid. So they never pay off their solar if they try and do it that way. They're also fighting against things like gas pipeline build-out. There's a lot of gas pipeline build-out and compressor stations and other infrastructure that spews things that cause asthma into the air. And so South Georgians are also dealing with a lot of that as well. There's a whole host of issues that the Public Service Commission could be paying attention to, but it's just not a priority for them.
So in speaking of South Georgia and other parts of Georgia that aren't really as highlighted as they should be, in Sparta, Georgia, a railroad company has controversially used eminent domain to seize land from a majority black community to expand its business interests. The company says that the increase in tax revenue for the country, around $1 million a year, means that it's in the public's interest for them to do so. Do you think it's ever in the public's interest for a private company to be able to use eminent domain?
No, I don't think it is right for a private company that will profit privately to be able to say to another landowner, my use is a better use of that land than your use, and then to take it without adequate compensation, I would add. They did not receive adequate compensation for that eminent domain use. And so, no, it has to be in the public interest. And I think that was a poorly served family. The Sandersville Railroad case in Hancock County, I don't think that the Public Service Commission voted the right way there.
Absolutely. So, a lot of our youth, Gen Z, I happen to be one of those, Gen Z, are very, very involved on TikTok and social media and places like that. Some of us are not going to commission. We're not going to come to a meeting or whatever, but we are going to be on social media talking about how high our bills are. I've seen that a million times. Or we should be getting out to vote and all of those things. We're going to vote. We're going to be active in that way. How are you going to stay connected to people like me who are the up-and-coming biggest voters that we'll have after the next generation before us? We're the second round of biggest voters. How are you going to stay connected with us and make sure that you are communicating with us about what you're doing in our communities, since your vote will impact the entire state and not just, whatever district, but you're voting for all of us? So how do you plan to stay connected with the younger voter?
It's a great question, and I know that, as a public service commissioner with the resources, I'll be able to get out and actually visit places throughout the state and make sure that everyone knows, if they'd like to talk to me in person, I can come and talk to them. But I'm also discovering in this campaign that video is amazing, and
yes.
I am seeing a lot of enthusiasm in all corners of social media, and it's pretty awesome to see. Because I think people are frustrated with what's going on, the nonsense at the federal level, but here's something they can do that's concrete and tangible and take action at the state level and actually leave the world a better place, do something about their clean energy future. You're absolutely right. Getting out the vote, calling friends, making sure they have a plan to vote November 4th and that they can vote for two commissioners. It's a chance to flip two public service commission seats and another one next year. That's a very valuable thing, and I want to make sure that everyone knows that we'll stay connected as best they'd want to, putting out videos about what we're up to and what the power plan is and how we're going to make the most of this first-year term with Democrats on the commission.
Yeah, I think one thing a lot of us can appreciate is when we don't feel like our politicians or the people that we voted for are untouchable, meaning that they're unreachable, untouchable, and they don't want to speak to us. We vote them in, and then they disappear. And then we find out they voted on this big thing that should have never happened. And so I love to see transparency and plans for, outreach and to be out in the community.
Well, one other thing to mention is just that this is normally a six-year term for
yes.
commissioner.
Long
but
time.
This time it's only a one-year term. Mm-hmm. I drew the short straw. And so I have to immediately start proving myself and being actionable and accountable right from the start if
yeah.
I want to be elected after a one-year
yeah.
term. So right from the start, I have to be out there in the public.
How do you think the landscape will change for you and any other person running for a commission seat, which would be District 5, which would be up next year? 5 will be up next year, along with 3, in a year like 2026?
Well, I think we have a tremendous amount of momentum. If and when we win in November and flip two seats, what that does is signal that the people are hungry in Georgia and that they want to see some change and some accountability. And we need people to come out next November for John Ossoff. We need people to come out for the governorship and the mm-hmm. lieutenant governor and start to put people in a position of authority who will be accountable and who will listen to the people. And as a public service commission, a constitutional officer, I have a bully pulpit and I will use it, go down to the legislature, talk about bills that will help lower power bills for folks, And there's a whole host of things that we can be doing. So the dynamic will change a lot next year when we flip two seats.
Yeah, absolutely. So what would you like to have your legacy be in politics as a person, as a human who is standing up for those who don't always have a voice? What would you like your legacy to be?
Well, the first thing I go to is this really isn't about me. This is about fighting for the people of Georgia. And so if I can serve the public in this office and help drive down power bills and leave this state a better place than I found it, it's an old Boy Scout motto, I'll be happy. It's what I want my legacy to be, and the legacy of this time in office, if voters put me there, is that we could have had and will have a better energy future, and could have had it had we started sooner as well. But there's no reason that we can't have our cake and eat it too, why we can't have the energy that we need to grow our economy, have it be clean, have it be affordable. We can have all of those things, and we don't have to sacrifice, but we need to have commissioners who are accountable. And that's what I want the legacy of this time to be, is that change that we all need to see.
The change we all need to see. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been an incredible, incredible conversation. And thank you guys for watching. I've loved having Mr. Hubbard on our couch today, and we're hoping for a huge victory on November. So is there anything else you'd like to tell the voters?
Yeah, I just really want to emphasize the fact that this is our time to flip two seats on the Public Service Commission and a third next year. And it is really on us to get out the vote and make sure that everyone knows what the PSC is, what the PSC does, and how important it is to just the quality of our lives and the affordability of our lives. And that power is yours, and don't waste it. Please come out and vote November 4th.
Thank you.